I saw a video on social media the other day. It's from a couple of years ago, but for some reason it came up again. Someone I know must have shared it. In the video, a police officer is called to respond to a noise complaint in a neighborhood in Gainesville, Florida, a neighborhood that looks a little run down. Kids are playing basketball in the street and apparently making a lot of noise. Preteens and teenagers shooting at one of those hoops that can be dragged to the curb by the side of the street. As the officer responds to the complaint, instead of yelling at the kids or just clearing the street, he joins in with them to play some basketball. And then after playing with them for a little while, he tells them to have fun, but if they could just keep the noise down a bit, that would be great. It was one of those feel-good, positive stories that people like to post, and it could have ended there, but the video continues, and the police officer comes back, and this time he comes with more members of the police force, and then a large SUV pulls up, and former professional basketball superstar Shaquille O'Neal gets out of the car. The guy is huge, 7 feet tall, big bald head, big smile, soft voice. The kids are astounded and excited, a superstar in their midst. The kids, the police officers, and Shaquille, or Shaq as he is known, play some pickup basketball in the street. Then Shaq tells the kids he will give $100 to each of them if they're able to make a free throw, which is kind of ironic because he was known during his professional career as a terrible free throw shooter. The kids are excited, and in the video, one after another, they each make a basket, and then one boy comes up and he misses. And Shaq pretends to blow a whistle and he says, "No, no, you gotta have a second shot because that was a two-shot foul, not a one-and-one." The boy steps up, takes a shot, makes the basket to everyone's delight. Then he gathers the kids around and he tells them with a grin to never take money from strangers except him. And he makes them repeat some words about respecting other people and listening to their parents. And then he says this, "They are to be leaders, not followers. Repeat after me," he says, "I will be a leader, not a follower. I will be a leader, not a follower." Good advice? Of course it is, at least for those kids who are playing basketball on that street, kids who might be vulnerable to influences, to things that they should not do, or that might get them in trouble. Be a leader, not a follower. That is, don't do things you shouldn't do just because someone else tells you to do those things. Someone older, someone who you think is more cool, more sophisticated than you are. Don't follow someone else down the wrong path. Work hard, stay in school, listen to your parents, he advises them. Respect other people, respect yourself. Be a leader, not a follower. Find your own path in life rather than following someone else who might lead you astray. Be a leader, not a follower. Good advice, of course, especially if the environment in which you are growing up is dangerous, riddled with bad influences, and people who do not care about your well-being, only about their own advantage, only about getting more for themselves. What Shaquille O'Neal was saying to those kids was this: don't let other people use you. Instead, listen to the people who care about you and listen to yourself. Follow your own best instincts. Follow your own gut. And if you do that, you can do what you know is right. Follow what you know is right. And not only that, but then you can lead others. Others who might be also vulnerable to going in a bad direction. Lead them in the right direction. Repeat after me, he says, "I will be a leader, not a follower." So in that context, he gives the kids good advice. What he gives them is good advice because there are lots of bad influences circling around the edges of their lives. But here's the thing that's missing from his advice, at least as far as we are concerned. In a broader sense, there is nothing inherently wrong with being a follower. We all start out as followers. We all start out as people who learn from other people, who take our cues from other people, who rely on the wisdom and judgment and guidance of other people. There's nothing wrong with being a follower because following after someone else is how we learn. It's how we learn the path. It's how we learn which way to go. It's how we learn the steps and the direction. There's nothing wrong with being a follower so long as you're willing to address yourself to the most important question: Who are you following? Who are you following? That's the important question, because there are a lot of people and things and plans and advice and propaganda and leaders and principles and interests we can follow. There's always something or someone clamoring for our allegiance, our trust, our obedience, new diets, exercise regimens, money-making schemes, a myriad of news sources, politicians of all stripes, curriculum and learning standards, experts of various sorts, teachers, gurus, television pundits, editorials, family members, social media influencers. Each of those things calls out to us, follow me. And as I said, there's nothing wrong with following, with being a follower, but we have to be discerning. We have to decide. Who will we follow? That is, who is worthy of following? What path should you follow? What leader will you follow? Who are you following? That is, who is wise? Who is trustworthy? Who encourages you to be your best self? Whose values and goals match your values and goals? Who has accurate, truthful information? Who cares about you as a person? Who has your interests in mind and not just their own? Who cares about something more than just the short-sighted, short-term outcome? Who are you following? And then we have to answer not only who do we follow, but what does that mean? And where will it take us? And why is that person worthy of following? So who are you following, and where is that person, that advice, that direction, that guidance taking you? Shaquille O'Neal tells those kids in that neighborhood, be a leader, not a follower. It is good advice for them, but for us, maybe even better advice would be this. Rather than refusing to follow, figure out who you can trust. Because having a guide you can trust, having a teacher you can trust, having a shepherd you can trust, makes all the difference. And if you pay attention to that, if you figure out who you can trust, then likely you won't be in danger of being led astray. You won't be in danger of wasting your life. You won't be in danger of following a path that points anywhere except in the direction of integrity and wisdom and vision and grace. Jesus calls the fishermen to follow him. Come, he says, follow me, and I will make you fish for people. It's strange and new work for them. It doesn't follow naturally from the path that they've been on. They've been fishing for fish, and now Jesus is inviting them to come along with him and fish for people. Or as the line from the closing hymn we will sing at the end of the service says, I will make you fishers, but of the human soul. Jesus invites them, calls them to come along, to follow along, and to do something worthy of this moment, something worthy of eternity, to spend their lives in deeper waters, to come and follow his lead in reaching, teaching, touching, feeding, caring, and healing those in need. He's not asking them to follow simply because he needs people to go where he goes and to do what he tells them to do. He's not asking them to follow because he is focused solely on saving them from getting lost. He asks them to follow because he has a ministry and he's going to need their help. Now, the scripture suggests that there's no hesitation on their part, that they'll drop everything and come along immediately. And they do come along, but I'm not sure that they can really be all in at first, because no doubt they are out of their depth. The direction is so new and so different that they must be out of their depth. Their feet follow Jesus, but they don't yet have complete understanding. They haven't yet developed the skills and awareness and perspective that they'll need. Like all first-time followers, they are inexperienced. They have no background in this fishing for the human soul. But they come along, and the very first thing they do is watch. Every time you get a new calling, an invitation to take a new path, to adopt a new purpose, the best way to begin is to look and learn. All good following begins with paying attention, with discerning. Is this leader who they say they are? Do they know what they're doing? Is this the right path? Am I needed? Can I be of help? Can I make a contribution? I think at the beginning, these former fishermen are watching and learning. They're testing the call to follow. They are in discernment. They are discovering whether they can trust him, this leader, and they are learning what he does, what following him will mean for their own vocation. Now, you could say that they had already decided after they dropped their fishing nets right where they were and left the boats, but they are not lemmings. They are grown people. They come along, but they might yet turn back. The first step is seeing what this is all about. So in those next verses that come right after the call to follow, what these brand new followers are really doing is watching Jesus, seeing what he does and where he will take them, observing his values, his actions, his leadership, and this is what they see. Jesus went through Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. So his fame spread throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all the sick, those who were afflicted with various diseases and pains, demoniacs, paralytics, epileptics, and he cured them. And great crowds followed him. Jesus leads them. They follow him on a teaching and healing mission. And so right out of the gate, they learn something of what it will mean for them to follow him. They learn that Jesus is called and is calling them to help him heal the world. And that healing people, meeting them in their need, body, soul, and spirit, is where God's good news finds its first and most urgent expression. The good news is that God cares about hurting people. Bodies will be cared for, minds will be cared for, and souls will be reached. So what does that mean for us 2,000 and some years later? Well, we too have heard the call to follow Jesus. We too have been invited to carefully watch, to carefully observe his ways. We too have been called to recognize that fishing for the human soul involves meeting people where they are in their mental, physical, emotional, and spiritual needs. We too have been called to act as agents of the good news of God's healing love in the world. To follow Jesus is to do what Jesus does. So we will be, first of all, those who follow him by acting in his ways and walking in his paths. And we will be disciples, disciples of this one who comes to serve and to save, to love and to heal, to bring peace and promise. We will follow him, and in following him, we will open wide a generous space for others to become his followers too. We will hope to lead others into those same gifts of healing and knowledge and grace and love that he has brought to us. Now, let me say one other important vital thing. That part of discerning who to follow and where to follow is recognizing that every choice we make cuts off other choices we could have made. And that many choices we make, especially those about values and identity and intention, especially those we make with compassion and integrity, come with a cost. Leaders should not ask of themselves any less than they ask of their followers, and followers should not expect to make any fewer sacrifices than those their leaders make. And following Jesus very well could mean leaving behind the nets of our familiar work, our safe territory, and it may even mean leaving behind the friendly and familiar circles where we are known and respected and valued. Following Jesus will require us to fish in deeper waters. Waters deeper with risk, perhaps, but also waters deeper with possibility. Waters deeper with God's goodness. Last week, I talked about names. I suggested perhaps that a good name for all of us would be friend. Do you remember that? Today, I would add to that follower. A good name for all of us would be follower. Friends of Jesus, followers of Jesus, let us open our lives to travel the path of God's good news, of God's healing love. Amen.